is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday. It's the 14th of January 2019 and I can't believe we're already nearly halfway through January already. We've got a great show ahead of you this morning. We have a special guest interview with my guest this morning, Kate Miles from Romney Marsh Osteopaths. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Hello, yes. Good, thank you, Neil.
It's great to have you on the show. And we're also going to be having a chat about fructose, what it is, and some of the dangers behind fructose. And towards the end of the show, we're going to have a chat about food cravings as well. I'm sure lots of you have got your New Year's resolutions to lose some weight, to sort your diet out, to get healthier perhaps, and cravings are going to form quite an important part of that. So I've got some advice as to how you might be able to control some of your food cravings. So before we start the show, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional first, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content in the show is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So if you'd like to get in touch with the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. If you are a Facebooker and you would prefer to go via Facebook, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's Facebook page. You can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you can also listen to this show and previous shows on the show's iTunes podcast as well. Again, if you just search the Health Matters Radio Show. So let's crack on. Fructose. So what is fructose? Now, most people know that fructose is a fruit sugar. So it's the sugar that's found naturally in fruit, but it also forms part of white table sugar as well. So white table sugar is two molecules, one molecule of glucose and one molecule of fructose. Now, it's the fructose in sugar, in white table sugar, that gives sugar its sweet taste, because actually glucose on its own is not particularly sweet. But it's glucose that we use for energy, and fructose we can't use for energy. And kind of that's where the problem lays with fructose. So glucose comes from starches, like potatoes, for example, and our bodies produce glucose as well. In fact, every cell of every living thing has glucose in it. It's a molecule that's absolutely vital to life. On the other hand, fructose is not vital for life. And actually, human beings didn't produce We don't produce fructose, and throughout our history, we only ate fructose when it came into season, because it was only available in fruits. And the problem is that fructose is incredibly cheap to produce, and it's added to a lot of food that's already prepared for us. So processed foods, prepackaged food, tinned food, etc., etc. Fructose is added in, and in sometimes quite copious amounts. Now, this creates a problem because, as I mentioned, glucose can be used for energy, but fructose can't be used by any cell of the body for energy. And the only part of the body that can use or deal with fructose is the liver. So when you're eating, when you're eating a couple of pieces of fruit per day, it's not really an issue because it's not a lot of fructose, and there's fiber and there's also water and there's other nutrients in the fruit. But the big problem comes when we eat a lot of fructose that's in the food that's been prepared for us. Now, because the liver can only metabolize fructose, it turns it into fat. So there's a condition called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And it's when someone eats a high amount of fructose. I stress that fructose probably does not come from the fruit that someone's eaten. It's coming from the processed foods and the drinks that's already had fructose added to it. So we have an overload in fructose. We're drinking too much. We're eating too much. Often we're unaware that we're actually consuming so much fructose. And there's research that has suggested that excess fructose consumption is actually leading to obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and also some forms of cancer. So it's quite a serious issue that we need to address and that we need to deal with. So one of the sources of fructose that's already put in our food is one called high fructose corn syrup. So they take corn, they process it, they add enzymes to it to change the structure of the sugars that are naturally occurring in corn. And by doing so, it creates a syrup that's much higher in fructose than it is in glucose, because it makes it very, very sweet. It's very easy to add to foods. And again, it's incredibly cheap. And this is the problem, is when fructose on its own is added to our food, there's nothing really else to it. It's just a delivery system of sugar. When we have fruit, there's other nutrients. As I mentioned, there's fiber, there's a bit of water, there's vitamins, there's minerals. There's lots of good things that naturally occur in fruit alongside the sugar. But when that fructose, when those fruit sugars are extracted and added into processed foods, they can become incredibly dangerous to the body. The interesting thing with fructose is it doesn't stimulate insulin the way glucose does. Okay, so when you consume high sugary foods or high in glucose, you have an insulin reaction, which is quite a natural process. But again, unmanaged can lead long-term onto things like type 2 diabetes. So when you eat a piece of fruit, you don't get an insulin reaction as if you ate something that was just sugary. So people are worried about eating fruit and they go, well, you know, if I eat fruit, it's going to raise my insulin levels. And, you know, but it really doesn't. And in small doses, actually, fruit is incredibly good for you. But once this fructose hits the liver, so we're not talking about fruit, we're talking about this fructose that's added to our foods. Once it's in our liver, it gets converted into fat. Now, the liver is a very self-sacrificing organ. It will try and do what it can to not have an impact on other systems of the body. So what the liver will tend to do is, if you have a diet that's high in fructose, it will actually store fat on and in itself to prevent to prevent it affecting other systems of the body. And often it will do this to avoid creating a situation where we become a type 2 diabetic. But it gets to a point where even the liver can't cope with the overdose of fructose that we're consuming, either for our food or in the drinks that we're drinking. And at that point, you have some serious health issues on the horizon, like heart disease, like type 2 diabetes. Now, fructose is important. But around 500 years ago, before the mass production of sugar, we did have a minimal amount of fructose in our diet. So fructose only came from being part of whole foods. So these were whole fruits, they were vegetables, they were grains, nuts, seeds. And our fructose intake was actually quite small compared to other parts of our diet. But as the food industry has refined fructose and they've found ways to make it very, very cheap and also very, very addictive and very Moorish because it is so sweet, they've added so much of this to our processed foods. And because they've done that, our fructose consumption has increased. I think it's, I saw a recent video that estimated that around 80% of the food in supermarkets has some form of sugar, often fructose added to it. So as I mentioned, glucose is a disaccharide. Sucrose is a disaccharide. So white table sugar is sucrose. And that's made up of two molecules. So we have one molecule of fructose and one molecule of glucose. And it's the glucose that we use for energy, but we can't use fructose for energy. As I say, this puts a real big load on our liver. It can upset our hormonal balance. So it can actually, it can cause your body to produce or to not produce enough of the hormone called leptin. Now, leptin is a hormone that's involved in long-term regulation of energy balance. So leptin goes up when we get enough calories or energy in our food, and it goes down when we don't. So it kind of lets us know when we're hungry, when we need to start eating, and when we need to stop eating. And fructose actually interferes with that hormonal production, that hormonal balance. So the problem there is when we have foods that are high in fructose, it can lead us to eat too much food, which obviously then continues to increase our fructose intake, increases our calorie intake, and then long-term it can lead to weight gain. And if your brain isn't getting those signals to say, I'm full, because you're eating and drinking too much fructose, that can lead to some serious health issues, particularly as you get older. So I do stress that having fructose in fruit is not an issue. Most people won't overdose on fruit. They won't eat 50 bananas in a day, or I would advise that you don't eat that amount of fruit. But one or two bits of fruit a day are actually good for your health. And whilst there is a bit of fructose in those pieces of fruit, they're not really going to cause your body any serious damage. They are packaged along with vitamins, with fibre, and with minerals as well. But the real takeaway is the fact that you need to start reading food labels. You need to look at the ingredients of your food. And I would suggest that, and I advise this to my clients, if you see on the ingredients list any form of fructose, either fructose on its own, or sugar, which would be part fructose, or indeed high fructose corn syrup, my advice would be put it down and pick something else, because actually, as I mentioned, this overdose in fructose can be incredibly damaging to the body. What we'll do on next week's show, I'd like to go into a bit more detail about the harmful effects of excess fructose, but we haven't got time today. So tune in to next week's show, and what I'll do is I'll go through with you some of the things you need to bear in mind, and some of the implications, the long-term health implications of excess fructose consumption. So after the break, we are going to go on to our guest interview with Kate. But before that, we have a quick song by Lou Reed.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park, and then later, when it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo, then later, a movie too, and then home. Just keep me hanging on. You just just a perfect day. Problems all left alone. Weekenders on our own. It's such fun. Just a perfect day. You made me forget myself. I thought I was someone else, someone good. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep me hanging on.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show. I'm Neil De Silva. It's Monday. It's the 14th of January 2019, and I hope you're all keeping very well. If you'd like to get in touch with the show via Twitter, please do so. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, you can search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can contact me there. If you'd like to contact me individually, with any issues or any questions, please drop me a line, drop me an email via my website, www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And as I mentioned, you can listen to this show again and all previous 47 Health Matters radio shows at the media page of my website or on iTunes, iTunes podcast, search the Health Matters Radio Show. So on to our special guest interview of the morning. We have Kate from Romney Marsh Osteopaths. Good morning, Kate.
Hello there.
It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I first met Kate at a networking event run by Terry Botfield, actually, down on the Romney Marsh, which runs, and this is a quick plug for you, Terry, on the first Wednesday of each month down at the ship on Romney Marsh. Is it a ship?
One that we go to, the networking over coffee, that's at St. Paul's.
Ah, it's at St. Paul's.
There's one at the ship in Dimchurch as well, that's a breakfast meeting.
That's the one, at the St. Paul's, that's the one. So yeah. I first met Kate back in, I think it was probably November or December, and we immediately clicked, and I thought there's a really good synergy between what I do and what she does. And we got talking, I thought, actually, it'd be really great to have Kate on the show. And here she is this morning. Great to have you on the show,
Kate. Good to be here, thank you.
So, let's start at the beginning. What's your background and how did you get into doing what you're doing?
Yes, well, I'm an osteopath. I have been an osteopath for quite a long time, since I qualified in 1996. Mm-hmm. That's quite hard to remember, isn't it?
That's quite a long time ago, isn't it?
It's a long time to be doing the same thing. But I was always, from a young age, interested in healthcare. I had various things going on myself, allergies, et cetera, et cetera. And it just got me interested in, you know, the less conventional side of things, mm-hmm. because I wasn't necessarily getting brilliant help with what was going on. And also my dad was going to see an osteopath, so that got me interested. I went along and watched what was happening, asked questions. I had some homeopathy, et cetera, et cetera. And it all went from there, really.
So 1996.
1996,
wow.
Yes. And I started my own practice in 1997. Mm-hmm. So I did some work for some of my clinic tutors. It was a a nice way to start. Nice to be asked by them. Worked all over the place. Travelled around a great deal, even travelled from one place to another at lunchtime, etc. But learned quite a bit about how to do things from them. I also learned about how I didn't want to do things. Yep. And I knew that I didn't want to be travelling around so much. I wanted to have my place. I wanted to be there, stay there and do things my way. So that gradually happened from 1997. I was still working elsewhere, but over time, as I got busier, I was able to cut down the amount of work I did elsewhere and gradually build up in New Romney.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about osteopathy and what the difference between an osteopath is and a chiropractor. Because I think for most people, they kind of think it's one and the same. And there are slight differences,
yeah,
as we discussed prior to the show coming on. So what's the difference between someone that practices osteopathy and someone that's a chiropractor?
Okay, there are similarities. There are differences. They're both looking at the person as a whole. The chiropractor does tend to focus more on the spine, though. So even if it's a foot problem, they'll probably do a spinal manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of hard, physical, heavy work. They do, as a consequence of the risks of that, do quite a bit of x-raying with new patients. So, you know, it's worth thinking about that as well, isn't it? Do mm-hmm. you want to be x-rayed? Do you want that dose of radiation? Is it necessary, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
And do you want a very strong physical technique? They also tend to be a bit more business-like than us. Yes, so you'll probably be going in several times a week, et cetera, for longer than we might do that with. But we hopefully have more scope. We have a wider range of techniques. Of mm-hmm. course, I'm an osteopath. Of course, I think that that's going to be better. But we do have crunching, but we do have a middle ground where joints are put through their range of movement, which is called articulation. There would be some perhaps soft tissue massage type work involved. But equally, there's a very gentle end of the spectrum, and that's where I tend to spend most of my time working. So that okay. might be referred to as cranial treatment, which is really about the skull, but also about the spine and the pelvis and how that reflects through the rest of the body. It's about how there's a movement going through every living part of your body, whether you're moving or not. If you almost imagine your skull is breathing, that sort of expansion, contraction type wow. of movement. So mm-hmm. that movement, that rhythm is going through the body. And if there are issues within that, say you've had a bang on the head, say you've had some dental work done,
mm-hmm.
say you've had some medication that's had some sort of irritation to your nervous system effect. Also food can do that too. Stress can do that too. But you might have a repetitive movement that you do that leads to an issue somewhere. So this gentle realm, which may feel like you're not having a lot done, works so much deeper than everything else. It gets right into that nervous system level.
Wow. Because I think there is a perception that both for osteopathy and for those that are chiropractors, it's just about the back. And it's so much more than that, isn't it?
Well, that's absolutely right. And especially with osteopathy and especially with this sort of deeper yet gentler option. You know, it's so useful for everyone. It's so useful for people who are not well and they can't cope with something that's very strong or heavy. People who've got a lot of wear and tear in their spines, you couldn't crunch them. The risks are far too high.
Mm.
You know, and we need to talk to people about risks now. It's really important, isn't it? And someone needs to make a judgment themselves about whether they like the idea of that, as mm. well as the practitioner deciding whether or not it's even somewhere they want to go. But with babies and with children, those sorts of things are often not right at all. And teenagers, for instance, they're an interesting area because their bodies are going through so much.
Mm.
They're changing so much. Their systems are so irritable. And as they get a bit older.
Irritable teenagers?
Yes.
Surely not.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because they're irritable on the inside as well as the outside. You know, you put your hands on them and it's like you're getting electric shocks off them, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as they start to get a little older and experiment with the fun but bad stuff that we shouldn't be putting into our bodies, that, you know, gets even worse. So the gentler work is really useful when someone is suffering with energy problems, when someone's got headaches and migraines, when someone's got fibromyalgia and anything that's a little bit stronger just gives them pain, you know, when there are deeper things going on. And that's when it's really interesting to me. And that's where people are often let down by healthcare in general.
Yeah.
And that's what I find really, really interesting, trying to get into that.
Wow, that that passion really, really comes across.
Oh, well, that's good, because it's really important to me. You know, I suppose I didn't get the help that I needed, and I want to make sure that other people do, near to as many, you know, everyone as
possible. And there's often a common theme with the guests I have on the show. There is a common theme that they've been through something, whatever that something may be, and they've come out the other end, and they want to help people who are also going through the same sorts of things. There is that common theme, there's that passion, it's not just a job to them. There's actually, they've had that personal experience, and now they want to use that personal experience to help other people.
That's right, because they've learned so much from that, you know. And the thing that I'm really, really passionate about is helping teach people how to help themselves, you know. And that's something that hardly anyone does, really, is it? That, you know, we don't tend to look after ourselves, do we?
No.
We don't tend to look after ourselves. We're focused on what we need to do for work. We're focusing on looking after our family and doing what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not really looking deeply into taking on a self-care practice or, you know, and I'm talking way beyond what we're eating and whether or not we're exercising, but we're not even doing that necessarily.
No, you're right. You're right. So let's go back to your centre that you opened up, your practice which is in New Romney.
That's correct.
So you opened that in 1997.
I opened it in 1997, but it was very small back then. Of course, it was just me. And a few years later, 6 years later, something like that, we moved to where we are now, which is down the avenue in New Romney, the other side to the little light railway station.
Okay.
And so I had more space there, so I was able to bring other people in. I'd already started to get an osteopath or two in here and there whilst I was doing children's clinic at the time, or whatever else I was doing. But now I've got the room to have lots of different disciplines there. And I think, you know, if people have come to see us and they like our friendly professional environment, we have a receptionist there all the time, et cetera, et cetera. We try and make it homely and comfortable for them. We try and, you know, be there for them when they need us, rather than just sort of doing what we do and expecting them to fit round. So we can offer them the opportunity, if I think that a reflexologist or a kinesiologist or a podiatrist, or we've got a private physio or whatever, if I think that that's going to benefit them, for them it's so much nicer, isn't it, to come along to that place they already know, that they're familiar with, that they feel safe and comfortable, where they know they're going to be looked after by their favourite receptionist, etc. So it's good to have other things, and I'm always looking for new options to offer people. And we've just recently taken on a new podiatrist, so he's there on different shifts now. Hopefully we try and make sure that every therapist has got some after hours work. You know, I think this is something I'm really, really keen on. I'm there till 9 o'clock three nights a week, and we do have another osteopath who's there on a different evening that I'm not. We have alternate Saturday morning appointments. Other therapists try and fit in with that ethos. They're paying customers. They want what they need. We want to offer them what they want and what suits them.
And when they need it.
That's right.
Because often people are working, or they have other commitments.
A hospital appointment where you have to have what you're given.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying to see us. It's private. You're choosing to come along.
Yeah.
Why would you come to us if we're not able to offer you something that's suitable? You'd go somewhere else, wouldn't you?
Definitely. Definitely. So let's talk a bit more about the life coaching and the stress management work, because that kind of complements the other parts of your service, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. And that's something that I've been doing in the last few years or so. And really, I think it's born out of a long process of realisation from tending to see lots of patients who've got pain, and maybe that pain's resistant to treatment because it's become apparent that there's old trauma that they're carrying with them. They may still be living in an environment where that's hostile. They're actually living with the person who is abusive to them, or they've got a lot of stress from the past that they just haven't been able to deal with. And that's coming out as pain. So when you're just being their osteopath, you're only getting so far in those circumstances.
Yeah.
And I started talking to people once I'd recognised this about going to see a counsellor or something of that nature. But they talked to me, they felt comfortable with me, they felt able to tell me those things, and they didn't really want to go and see someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was helping them, I was working on instinct, but I needed more than that. And I decided that really the only sensible option was to go and get more qualifications, because I was very interested in that area of work anyway. And if I could help them physically with a hands-on treatment, but I could offer them a form of talking therapy as well, either as two separate entities, but even more interestingly, blended together, then I could go further for them and they could achieve more improvement.
Yeah, yeah. And you can also do you can do sessions over Skype as well, can't you?
Which is quite interesting. That's a new thing that I've introduced. So say, for instance, someone's heard about me, but they're too far away. They can't really travel to see us. Or for argument's sake, I've got various patients who are away at university. Mm-hmm. So they can see me, actually come to the practice during the holidays. But whilst they're away, if they want some talking therapist type work and support, then they could have a Skype appointment. And if someone's got chronic fatigue, they've got fibromyalgia, they normally come and see me,
mm-hmm.
but they're feeling dreadful that day and they can't get in, but they don't really want to cancel their appointment, they could switch to a Skype. They can be on the sofa in their jammies and I can chat to them through the computer and, you know, try and help move things forward. So I think it's a nice addition.
Mm.
And it does mean that you don't have to be local, you don't have to get in, you don't have to stick with doing things the same way every time.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. And you recently set up a support group, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. So I've got a free private Facebook stress and anxiety support group, because lots of people, well, maybe there's a limit to how often they can come in and have an appointment, but they still want to retain some kind of contact. Maybe they need some help. They want to learn some self-help techniques. They want to learn about the way food affects the way they feel.
Mm-hmm.
They want some information about breathing techniques or setting up a daily self-care practice or whatever it might be. And I'm quite keen also on talking to them about, you know, sort of toxins in their life, in their world. So that might be the hair dye that they're using, it might be the face cream, or it might be the type of, you know, antibacterial chopping board they like, or whatever it is. But things like that mm-hmm. are also very relevant too. And for me, those things irritate our nervous systems. So if our nervous system becomes more irritated, it's easier for symptoms to be triggered, whether that's pain, whether that's anxiety, whether that's depression, whatever it is. So if we change a lot of things in our environment so that we're working on improving health on all areas, we can get better quicker, or we can get better on a deeper level. So it's a good way for people to learn a bit more about how to do that. And I want to expand on that in the future as well going forward. So I want to do some courses on self-help techniques. There's a particular one that I'm keen on, which needs a bit more explanation, a bit more time with people, that doesn't kind of fit in so well to that group necessarily. I do some of that with people face to face, and there's a little bit mentioned in the group, but it's called EFT tapping, or just tapping, or emotional freedom technique, meridian psychotherapy. But really it's about points on the body that are part of the meridian system that we can use to tap into that energy, but we also use affirmations with that, but not just your normal affirmation. Mostly when people use an affirmation, they're saying everything's going to be all right, everything's going to be all right, but it's not totally believable, you know. But this actually acknowledges there's a negative side. I'm worried about so-and-so, but I choose to believe that everything will be all right, is a bit more believable, resonates a bit more with you on a deeper level. So if you're using the right wording and you're using the tapping, then you can really unlock worry about the moment. You know, if someone else is thinking they want to come on the radio and they're a bit worried about it, it's a technique they could use before they came in, for instance. But equally, you can unlock things from the past as well. So that's the sort of thing that I'm looking at working towards. And with the group, then we may do another version of that, a more involved one with real how to life coach you through that process,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people who want to take it further and really commit to trying to make changes in their life to get wow. better.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So can you tell me more about what you do, or more about examples, perhaps? Obviously, we can't name people, but have you got any examples of any success stories that you've had recently?
Yeah, sure. So if I think about recently, and let's think about the sort of stress and talking therapy side of things, there's a few things that spring to mind. There's a lady I've known for quite a while, and she mentioned to me that she was scared of flying, and she was due to go away. It was an anniversary, her and her husband, and he wanted to go to the Channel Islands, and she was really worried about flying. But when I talked to her a bit more, it became apparent it wasn't really the flying itself, it was the being confined in a space. So mm-hmm. she didn't like being in a lift, she didn't like being in a train. Yes, those are also moving objects, but she didn't mind being in a car because she could choose to stop and get out, you know. And I talked to her further and further, and I talked back in her life, we talked about the past, and it became clear to me that when she was very young, about 5 or something like that, she'd had an incident with her older brothers. You know what brothers can be like. And they were messing around and they were playing, and they tied her into a sleeping bag. You know, can you imagine that? She was really young. She was panicking. She couldn't get out. It was terrible. She felt dreadful. She was screaming. She was moving around. She was trying to get out of this thing, but she just couldn't. And her mum came in and found her and rescued her and got her out, but she was absolutely terrified. So she could have gone on a fear of flying course, and she did do that as well, but that wouldn't have been enough on its own, because it wasn't really the flying. You know, she was fine with the thought of being in something that was moving as long as she could choose to get out, but it was being in the plane at all once that door shut.
Yeah,
you know. So we went back through that. We used some neuro-linguistic programming, visualization techniques, and we revisited that moment, but she was able to reframe it. So she was able to change in her mind how it went, and she was able to break herself out of that. And it made such a difference for her. It really did. There's another lady, if you want another example. She, 30 years after the event, was still feeling guilty about having her dog put to sleep. You know, and it's incredible, isn't it? She did that. It was what needed to happen, but she was maybe thinking perhaps she'd done it too soon or what have you. She felt bad about it, and we talked about that, and it was really affecting her. And she's continued to have dogs, and so this whole thing was just there again and again if she was ever in that situation. And we went back through it, and I got her to visualise what happened, and I asked her to think about what her dog might have said to her at the time, you know. And once she started to think about it from the dog's perspective, how ill he was feeling, how fed up with living he was, et cetera, et cetera, and please, mummy, can you release me from this? You know, she felt an awful lot better. So I think you can do lots of great things with osteopathy. I've got stories on that front as well, but this obviously is, you know, really does release things for people, really does make a huge difference.
And it's really interesting because, you know, going back to the start of the interview, it's not about your back. There's so many people think it's just about the back, and, you know.
That's right. That might be where
so much more to
that
it.
That might be
so
where it's
more
manifesting. You might have pain between your shoulder blades, but that might be coming from your stomach.
Yeah.
You know, you might have pain in your low back, but that might be because you're constipated. And okay, one can reinforce the other, but it's trying to work out which is the route and which is the way in.
Yeah, very interesting. So we're at the start of 2019. You've mentioned about the tapping, the EFT tapping that you'd like to get into this year. What other plans have you got for 2019? Where's your business going to take you this year?
Well, there's lots of things that I want to do. Yes, I want to do the courses, and there'll be other subject areas that I want to do too that will gradually come through. I'm always studying. There's always more things I want to learn. Mm-hmm. I think the more I learn, the more I want to learn. And so I'm doing a course on cognitive behavioral therapy at the moment. Again, this is a real self-help area of talking therapy. So it'll be great to add those new techniques in. I'm always working on the business. I'm always looking for ways to promote us so more people know about us, and also to have more types of therapy in. So I'm looking at the newest intake and what can we do to get them to get themselves out there, really, and get people to know more about what we can do.
So an exciting 12 months ahead.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed, yes.
So can we just give a quick recap for the listeners out there of the sorts of things that people can approach you for that they might need help in, you know, particular conditions?
Yes. So as well, of course, as back pain and neck pain, they might be having headaches, they might be having digestive problems, mm-hmm. they might have difficulties with sleeping, that's a big issue with relaxing. They might have fears about the past, fears about the future. They might have conditions that are part physical, part stress-related, like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. They might, excuse me, they might have all sorts of things. But if you really just don't feel well and no one seems to know why, mm-hmm. then something like this is probably going to unlock things for you.
Right, brilliant. So in the first instance, if people would like to get in touch with you and have a chat, how do you work? Do you do telephone consultations? Do they have to come down and see you?
It really depends whether they're looking at having hands-on treatment or not. Okay. So obviously with these new things that I'm doing, that opens out a whole world of possibilities that weren't there before. Mm-hmm. It was always with osteopathy that you come in and you have an appointment. If you want to come and have a chat first, that's fine. Yeah. With this sort of thing, if you're looking at talking therapies but not hands-on, then you wouldn't necessarily have to come down first. You could have a Skype chat about whether it's right for you. You could have a Skype appointment. If you want to blend the two together, which is particularly useful, mm-hmm. then, of course, you need to come along at least some of the time. So it might okay. be that you alternate that. One's more hands-on, one's a Skype, or whichever way it feels like we need to take it as we go.
Super. And what's the best way to contact you?
Yes, well, you can phone us, of course. Now, this gets you straight through to reception. And I think this is nice. People want to email and all the rest mm-hmm. of it. But if you phone, you get to speak to a human being. They can answer your questions and they can make an appointment for you there and then. And if you want to speak to me, they can make an arrangement for me to contact you or for you to pop in and have a chat.
Okay. And what's the phone number?
It's 01797 361111. It's quite a nice memorable
nice,
number.
Nice, easy to remember. Absolutely. Yes. And your website address?
Yes, we've got a website address. Is www.romneymarshosteopaths.co.uk. So it sounds a mouthful, but really, you know, as long as you remember the name of the business.
So romneymarshosteopaths.co.uk. Yes. And there'll be obviously, all the contact details
all the contact
on there
details
as well.
Are on there. All the information is on there about all the different things that we do and the different therapists that are there. Also, you can find us on our Facebook page.
And if people search Romney Marsh Osteopaths
on Facebook, then you find
like
us. That's it. They can like us, they can follow us, etc. And if they're interested in joining the group, that's the RMO Stress and Anxiety Support Group. Mm-hmm. There's a link to that on the Romney Marsh Facebook page, or they can just search up RMO Stress and Anxiety Support.
Fantastic. It's been really great to have you on the show this morning, Kate. Thank you very much for coming on. And it's been really an education for me to find out more about osteopathy as well. It's been really interesting. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you ever so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
After the break, we're going to have a quick chat about food cravings. But to take us there, we're going to have a quick classic from the Four Tops, and it's Loco in Acapulco.
Going
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, the 14th of January, and we have just been having a chat with my special guest this morning, Kate Miles from Romney Marsh Osteopaths. So, on to food cravings. I'm going to cover how we can deal with food cravings on next week's show, but I'm going to have a quick chat about the mechanics of food cravings, because I'm sure many of you are have set New Year's resolutions, perhaps to lose some weight, eat healthier, and you can have the best of intentions to actually follow through with these, but the body often has other intentions, which is obviously why people's New Year's resolutions generally don't last, whether it's going down the gym, whether it's giving up particular foods or particular drinks. I know lots of people that are doing dry January at the moment. But ultimately, you know, there are deep-seated psychological issues regarding the foods that we eat, and the cravings that we have are often outside our control. So what is a food craving? Well, a food craving is not just a want for food. It's actually an intense desire for specific foods. Now, these desires can sometimes seem uncontrollable, and they may actually not be satisfied until they get that particular food. So if you have a craving for chocolate, for example, you may not be happy until you eat some chocolate. But most experts believe that food cravings will only really last about 3 to 5 minutes. And if you're aware of that, often people can work through that five minutes of really wanting a particular food. If you think a food craving is going to last and last and last and last and last, you're probably going to give up and actually give in to that craving. But if you realize that actually only after a few minutes, you can often, the sensation for that craving can go, then you can work through that. Interestingly, we don't tend to crave things like protein, and very few people will crave things like vegetables. You know, you don't crave cabbage, but what you tend to crave is junk foods, processed foods, foods that are high in sugar, high in salt, and high in fat. And these cravings can be a real roadblock for people that want to maintain a healthy weight or switch to a healthy diet. But there are some steps that we can take to deal with those food cravings, and we can beat them. And as I mentioned, I will cover those on next week's show. So tune in next week for those. But some of the things that we do crave are things like potato chips, French fries, chocolate, ice cream, biscuits. Some people crave things like mac and cheese, you know, macaroni and cheese. And these foods do tend to be high in sugar, salt, and fat. And the food companies know that. And lots of foods are engineered to make them more addictive and more moorish, and to make you crave them more. And again, when you realize the fact that the food that you're eating is often engineered to make you want more of it, once you wake up to that fact, it can strengthen your resolve to break those cravings and break those habits. Often you crave carbs, but when you crave carbs, they often come packaged with fat as well. And if you actually look at the nutritional information of foods that you tend to crave, then they will have carbohydrates in them, but they will probably have more calories from fat than the carbohydrates. And these cravings, they're caused by regions of the brain that are responsible for memory, pleasure, and reward. So they make us feel good. They can bring back good memories. Perhaps if we're feeling emotionally fragile, I know lots of people do comfort eat because of, you know, emotional issues, but it fires up these regions of the brain that bring back these good memories that make us feel good. Particularly, obviously, sugar is a well-known culprit for making us feel good. And sometimes an imbalance of hormones, so leptin, we mentioned earlier in the show, which is the hunger hormone, and also serotonin, which is one of the feel-good hormones. An imbalance in those can also create these food cravings for us. And as I mentioned, emotions come into it as well, particularly if you do comfort eat. Pregnant women can have these cravings because of the hormonal changes that can disrupt their taste and smell receptors. And cravings can also be linked to lack of nutrients in our diet. So there is a thought process that has suggested that when our body lacks particular nutrients, say, for example, potassium is a classic one. Sometimes if you lack potassium, you will crave bananas because they're high in potassium. So it doesn't mean that giving in to certain cravings isn't a bad thing, because, you know, if you're craving a banana, have a banana, because it's not going to do you any harm. But if you're craving stuff that's going to do you harm, if you're craving lots of chocolate, for example, then obviously there are health implications that go along with that. And cravings can be selective or they can be non-selective. So you can have cravings for specific foods, which might be chocolate bars, it might be burgers, it might be a packet of crisps, or you can have non-selective, which is the desire to basically eat anything. And that can be linked to genuine hunger. And if you feel that, those hunger pangs, if you feel those cravings, then actually having a glass of water can help those cravings to go away. So as I mentioned, on next week's show, we are going to go through some ways that we can beat those cravings. And we're also going to have a chat about how we can deal with fructose and the damage that too much fructose does to the body. On next week's show, which will be the 21st of January, we have a special guest is Victoria Sheridan. So looking forward to seeing Victoria next week. Again, if you'd like to contact me via my Twitter feed, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, you can search Health Matters Radio Show, and you can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website. If you'd like to come on the show as a guest, as Kate has done this morning, and talk about what you do and the passion that you have for what you do, then please make contact with me via my website. I'd like to thank Kate once more for coming on the show. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you for asking me. It's been great.
Would you just like to remind listeners of your website address and phone number?
Yes, the phone number is 01797 361111. The website is www.romneymarshosteopaths.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for coming on the show. After the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. So until next week, stay happy, stay healthy, have a great week, and I will catch you next Monday. Bye for now.
The heart is a blue. Take you out of this place somewhere.